Welcome to Word Mission Church International Podcast. Now the Word with Paul Mensah Wood.
We have been studying on how to walk victoriously in this season. And the first lesson, we looked at how the Word of God makes an impact on our lives. And then last week, we looked at faith. And all of these topics, we can stay on there for weeks and weeks. But today, as I prayed, I want to summarize it all, or put it all together, or give the high spots of everything. You see, in my study in engineering, we studied integrated systems. Every electronic piece of equipment or every equipment that you see is comprises of different systems that causes the thing to run. So like, for instance, your car, there are so many systems running in there to cause it to run. If you take, for instance, the plane to fly, there's so many systems, this speaker, so many things causes those things to run. So what are the recipe? Or when you are making a meal, you look at the recipe and follow the steps, and then you come out with a good meal. If you don't follow the recipe very well, you might come out with something that is not palatable. And when it comes to making meals, I'm not the greatest. I know how to prepare a meal for you to leave church and before, but when it comes to physical meals, I can do oatmeal. I can do oatmeal or prepackaged food. I remember when Pastor Paula traveled outside the country in January, she bought so many prepackaged meals because she knows that I need help in that department. So but the point is, for food to come out, for systems to run, for us to live a successful life, there are certain things that must be in our lives that we must walk by, certain principles revealed in the Word of God that we must walk by to be successful. So let's read 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, the key text that we have been looking at in this season. And we'll glean some nuggets throughout the Bible this morning. Thank you, Lord. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And then 10:2, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. 1 Corinthians 15, 57. Glory be to the name of the Lord. It says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphant procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. Notice, both verses start with thanksgiving. Thank be to God who always, sometimes causes us to fail. No, he always causes us to triumph. And then he says that who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession. So these three verses tells us that God wants us to be victorious. God wants us to be overcomers of the world. He doesn't want us to be defeated. But he's saying that in 1 John 5, 4, he says, everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. You and I are meant to be world overcomers. In this life, there are so many things that we go through, but through it all, God wants us to be victorious. Through it all, God wants us to be overcomers. Oh, say this morning, I am born. Oh, say it louder. I am born to be an overcomer, to overcome this world. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And he says, this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. You see, Jesus is our access to walking in victory. He is our access to walking in victory. In John chapter 10, verse 9, he calls himself the door. And then in John chapter 14, verse 6, he says he is the way. And then here he's saying that everyone who is born of God. So the first prerequisite to walking in victory and being an overcomer in this world is to be born again. It seems obvious, but it must be stated. You must be born of God. Not born from a natural standpoint, but born from a spiritual standpoint. Born from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And to become partakers of the divine nature. Everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. That is what qualifies you. That is what qualifies us to walk as overcomers. Notice what he says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. Thank you, Lord. 2 Peter chapter 1. Thank you, Father. And then verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. He says, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. He says we escape from the corruption that is in the world. He's saying something similar to what John was saying. We escape by being made partakers of the divine nature. We escape the corruption that is in the world by becoming partakers of the divine nature. He has granted unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He has given them to us, but for us to enjoy what has been purchased for us, we must be born again. And then once we are born again, he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. Through the knowledge of him. Where are we going to get the knowledge of him? Through the Holy Bible. Through his word. He's called us to his own glory and excellence. He's called us to his own glory and excellence. He's called us to his own glory and excellence. To his own glory and excellence. Not for the enemy to overcome us, but for us to walk in the glory and the excellence of our God down here. If that's you, say amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Notice what he says in Romans chapter 8, verse 2. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. He puts it again in different words. Thank you, Father. My Lord and my God. Notice what he says. Verse 1 says that, Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. There is a law of sin and death in the world. Peter calls it the corruption that is in the world. He's saying here, the law of sin and death. But by virtue of coming into Christ Jesus, there is therefore now no condemnation to you and I. For the law, there is another law that we are operating by. The law of the Spirit of life has set us free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. No longer can the law of sin and death overpower us and cause us to walk in defeat. But because we have his divine nature, because we have his life in us, because we have his spirit in us, we are escaped. We are exempt. Oh, in this world down here, we'll go through trials and tribulation. But that law, when we learn how to walk by his word, we can walk victoriously no matter what comes up. If that's you, say a big amen. So first step is to partake of the divine nature or to be born again. Number two, we must use the name of Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9. Use the name of Jesus. Use it in prayer. Use it against the enemy. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. Notice what he says. My Lord and my God. And being found in human form, he humbled himself. Philippians 2, 8. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God has exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. And that name belongs to you and I. Every tongue, that name is recognized in all three worlds, heaven, earth, and under the earth. And so we can use that name in prayer. That name is above every sickness. That name is above every disease. That name is above every power of the enemy. That name is above all. And in Ephesians chapter 1, towards the end, he talks about the fact that how that name has been given to the church. Then and then think about it. In Ephesians 2:6, he says that he raised us up with him and made us sit together with him in heavenly places. And so he's given us that name. And through his name, when he defeated the enemy and put the authority and the power in his name. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, notice what he says. Before Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he defeated the enemy. And now he's giving us the keys. Colossians 2, 15. He says, oh, I love this. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to an open shame by triumphing over them in him. He has defeated these powers that we have to deal with. And he has put the authority and the power in his name. God has given him a name. And that name belongs to you and I. Ephesians 1:20, he says that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. And notice, above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. He put everything under his feet. All the dominion and the authority and power is in his name. And so thank God you and I can take that name and in the name of Jesus exercise power over the enemy. He is a defeated foe. Jesus has defeated him for us. He has defeated him for us and given us the keys. No wonder he said, everyone that is born of God overcomes the world. Because someone has overcome the world, and you and I were identified with him, and he has given us his name. No longer are we walking as weaklings down here. We know that we are backed by Almighty God. We know that we have his name, and we can use his name to walk victoriously. Know the authority and the power in his name. Thank you, Father. Oh, my Lord and my God. Number three. Oh, know the power in the blood of Jesus. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Thank you, Lord. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Verse 7 says that now war arose in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent, which is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Verse 11 says, and they conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. And then notice what he says, verse 17. Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went out to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold on to the testimony of Jesus. We established that in the first lesson 2 weeks ago. We are engaged. There's an enemy opposed against us, whether we like it or not. But notice he says, he was defeated. There was war in heaven. But he was defeated and cast down here, and he's angry at the people that keep the word of God. He's out to defeat you. But thank God, the same weapon that was used to bring him out of heaven, that same weapon is available to us today. He says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, glory be to the name of the Lord. You see, it is by the blood of Jesus Christ that we are saved. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Oh, glory to the name of the Lord. Let's start from verse 12. Hebrews 9, 12. Notice what he said. He says, he entered once for all into the holy place, not by means of the blood of goats and cows, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption for us. He has secured an eternal redemption for you and I from the curse of the law, from the law of sin and death that is down here, from the corruption that is in the world through lust. And the enemy was overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And the Bible said that there was no more place found for him in heaven. Oh, and Ephesians 2:6 says that you and I are seated with Christ Jesus in the heavenly places. And so if there was no more place for him found in heaven, and you and I have been purchased by the blood of Jesus, I refuse to give him any place in my life. Oh, I am seated in heaven where there was no place found for him. And by the blood of Jesus, I overcome him. Give him no place in the mighty name of Jesus. This morning, as you sit under the influence of the word of God in any area of your life where it seems that the enemy has a foothold, I declare in the mighty name of Jesus, may you go free and escape in Jesus' mighty name. If that's you, say amen. You see, when Moses went to Egypt to deliver the children of Israel from Egypt, Pharaoh kept resisting their deliverance. One plague after another plague. He refused to give up the people of God. But on the day when God said, put the blood of the Lamb up on the doorpost, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That was God's last card. When the blood was introduced, Pharaoh had to give up. In the mighty name of Jesus, oh, the blood of Jesus that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Apply the blood to your life. I love what he says. When we come together, you see, when we come to church or when there's a body of believers gathered together, it's not just an ordinary gathering. The blood of Jesus is involved. Notice what he says in Hebrews 12:22. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Notice. Oh, my Lord, I love this. He says, but you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Do you see the company that we are in this morning? Oh, he's saying that we have not just come to an ordinary building. We have not just come to an ordinary gathering. We have come to Mount Zion. And to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, and to the assembly, the church of the firstborn, the saints who are already in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. That's why we say we are going for service. When you take your car to get your oil change, you take it for service. They take out the old one and put in the new. We come here, and as we are sitting under the influence of God's word, the blood of Jesus, he says we have come to that. It is sprinkling. The sprinkling of his blood, we are being sprinkled and refreshed and renewed. We have come for service. My Lord and my God. Know the power. That is why the communion is so important. Every time you partake of his, we partake of his body and his blood through the communion, we are partaking of his very life. Know the power in the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Number four, we have to know his word. And we touched on this last week. We have to know his word and walk by faith and not by sight. Walk by faith and not by sight. Imbibe his word. Get his word in you so that no matter what comes up, what comes up, the word of God is what comes out of you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. We are looking at the things that make for our overcoming Christian life. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Notice what he says. Oh, my Lord and my God, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit and of joint and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The word of God is living. The word of God is living. The word of God is living. That is one of the things that transformed my life so much when I realized that this word of God is living. It's active. He compares it to seed. No matter what I'm faced with in life, no matter what you are faced with in life, when you take the word of God and plant it in the good soil of your heart, meditate on it, think about it, and then speak it out of your mouth, nothing can resist the living word. It makes all the difference. It is living and active. John 1:1, he talks about the fact that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. God and his word are one. So important. No matter what, in your health, in your finance, in wisdom, any area of your life, as you take God's word and plant it in your heart and speak it out of your mouth, those words become. You see, in John 1:1, he talks about the fact that he was God and the word was God. And verse 14 says, and the word became. And the word became flesh. The word is what became flesh for people to be able to touch and handle. Words become. Words become. Oh, words become. Words produce. The word of God is living and active. Oh, that is why you must be conscious of what's going into your heart. What words are going into your heart? To be able to be successful, we have to get the word of God in our heart. Notice what Jesus Christ said in John chapter 6, verse 63. John 6, 63. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. John 6, 63. Notice what he says. He says, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I've spoken to you are spirit and life. The words that I've spoken to you are spirit and life. I'm not just speaking ordinary words. The words that I've spoken to you are spirit and life. The words that I've spoken to you are spirit and life. They have the power to produce. Thank you, Father. And notice what he said again in John chapter 8, verse 31 to 32. He says, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. The opposite will be true. A disciple means a student, a learner, a follower. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The thing that can give you everlasting freedom. You see, I can pray with you. We can all believe with you. I can carry you on my feet for a certain time. But ultimately, what will make you permanently free and to walk in the fullness of what God has purchased for you is the word of God. You will know the truth. I'm not talking about the truth just heard. It went in one ear and went out the other one. I'm talking about the truth that is that you have meditated on. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I see someone going free this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. You see, he says the righteous one will live by faith. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, and in 11. And in other places, he says that the just will live by faith. But you see, faith comes by hearing the word of God. This morning, as you are sitting here, you are being fed. Your faith is so strong, you are like, bring it on, bring it on, bring it on. The just shall live by faith. Thank you, Lord. And then number 5, to walk victoriously, we must walk according to our new nature. This is a very important point. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Walk by our new nature. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians 4, 22. It says, notice what he says. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Put on the new man. Put on the new self. Put on the new self. And then he says something similar to the church at Colossae. Colossians chapter 3. Notice what he says. Verse 9, it says, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Put on the new self. You see, 2 Corinthians 5:17 talks about the fact that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. You are a new person. The spirit man is born again, but this body and this mind is still the same old body and the same mind. So what needs to happen, that's what makes for people that still stay as baby Christians. What needs to happen is for the new person to be fed with the word of God. Peter talked about the fact that desire the sincere milk of the word of God that you may grow thereby. And for the new person, the real person on the inside, to dominate our thinking processes according to the word of God and to dominate this body. That's so important, to live victoriously as a Christian. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned, previously their spirit man was the dominant one. That was the one in charge. They were in perfect fellowship with God. But when they sinned, now when God is coming, they are running away from God. They are ashamed to stand in his presence. They are conscious of the fact that something has changed. The glory that they were covered with, now it's all gone. They are now dependent on their 5 senses to walk and to live. So the thing to be able, when we talk about faith has to do with the invisible. When you are walking by faith, you are walking by the invisible. The spirit man is now in charge. You are not walking by these natural senses. You are walking by the new man. That's so important. He says, put on the new self, put on the new man, which is created in righteousness and holiness. That needs to happen, or You remain in the babyhood stage of Christianity, where your body is always dominating you. It's dominating you from a natural standpoint. But not only that, you walk by what you see and not by the invisible. Put on the new man. Put him on. The new man has God living in it. The new man is created in true righteousness and holiness. But he's saying that, put that person on. Let him be the dominant one. The fruit of the Spirit is in there. Almighty God is living in you, but let him be the one dominating everything. I cannot emphasize that enough. To walk victoriously, that needs to happen. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Okay, let's keep going. To walk victoriously as well. These are things that took me years to learn. I'm giving it all to you, package all as one. You must maintain a life of prayer and hard fasting as well. But the key is, as you are led by the Spirit of God, he says, but you must be prayerful. You must be prayerful. Notice what the apostle said in Acts chapter 6, verse 4. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Acts chapter 6 and verse 4. Thank you, Lord. It says, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. We will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. We will give ourselves continually. You see, they were being distracted by the business side of the ministry. They said, no, we cannot do this. Let's give ourselves continually to, we are going to devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Two ingredients, two things that is needed. Give yourself to prayer. Pray in the morning. Pray in the afternoon. Pray at night. Pray before you go to bed. Maintain a constant relationship with God. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Notice what they said in Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Notice what they said. He says, so Peter was kept in prison, but continued. Earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. The church, I mean, they had captured. We looked at this last month. They had already killed James. Now they were looking to capture Peter. The church woke up and said no. They prayed. Peter stands for the epitome of the church. He stands for the church. Herod stands for the world system that will endeavor to defeat you. But he prayed and cried to God. And thank God, God sent his angel and Peter was delivered from prison. So to speak, we continually remain in captivity when we are not praying. This morning, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that you will sign up and be one that will pray. Develop a prayer lifestyle. Talk to God all the time. Talk to him. And then we come out here as well during the week and then we pray. But prayer must be a lifestyle if you are going to live successfully as a Christian. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Now, another one is maintain joy. Notice what he said to the church at Philippi, Philippians chapter 4. Verse 4. Thank you, Lord. Philippians 4:4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. The one who wrote this epistle was the Apostle Paul. And he was the same person who in Acts chapter 16, verse 25, he had been captured in Philippi for preaching the gospel. And that's how the church at Philippi was born. Oh, but thank God, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. He said, when you are full of joy, there's praise in your heart. Oh, that midnight hour sometimes stands for the darkest hour of your life, the time that you are going test and trial. But Paul knew the secret. Rejoice in the Lord always, because he knows that if he doesn't rejoice and if he doesn't praise God, he's going to remain in that prison. But when he lifts up his voice and begins to praise, begins to rejoice, God will step in. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. That's exactly what happened when they began to praise, when they were joyful. Oh, almighty God stepped in. There was an earthquake and the prison door was open. This morning, in the mighty name of Jesus, no matter what you are going through, even though you go through the valley of the shadow of death, maintain your joy. Oh, somebody said, if you are joyful, notify your face. Give Jesus a smile this morning. It will show on your face. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. You see, joy is part of the kingdom of God. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. I'm enjoying this so much. Glory be to God. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. Notice what he says. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Notice what he said. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God does not consist of just eating and drinking. That's good. Some of us enjoy it. but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Joy in the Spirit. Joy in the Spirit. You wake up in the morning and you are full of joy. Because of, not because of anything, but because you know that you have a Father. Because the thing is, it takes joy to draw out of the wells of salvation. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 3. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 12, 3. Thank you, Lord. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Your deliverance, your salvation, it's all there. Notice, remember, don't forget those scriptures. First Peter, we read it earlier on, chapter 1. Now it says, he's giving us all things that pertains to life and godliness. But it's going to take joy to draw them out, to draw the virtue, to draw out of the well of salvation. There is no way you can be depressed when you are joyful, when you are full of praises. Oh, with joy we draw out. With joy we draw out. With joy we draw out of the wells of salvation. This morning, in the mighty name of Jesus, anything that you are confronted with, oh, that wants to steal your joy, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that may your mouth be filled with laughter. May your mouth be filled with joy. When the Lord turned the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, may your mouth be filled with laughter. With joy, we draw out of the wells of salvation. Joy, joy. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Nehemiah put it this way: the joy of the Lord is our strength. It takes joy to walk by faith. It takes joy to walk down here. And so with joy, you draw out of the wells of salvation. To walk victoriously, oh, you must walk in joy. My Lord and my God. There are three more. But let's go to this one. This is so important. This is so important. You see, to walk victoriously as well, and to be victorious in life, we must share God's heart. God's passion is for everybody in this world to hear the gospel, to hear the word of God, and to come to the knowledge of the truth, to come to the knowledge. Live by always looking for opportunities to share the word of God with others. You see, when you naturally share with others what you have, you also increase as well. Notice what he said about the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 17, verse 16. Live by reaching out to others. Acts chapter 17, verse 16. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Acts 17, 16. Thank you, Lord. Acts 17, 16. It says, now while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. He had a passion when he saw that these people didn't know the true God. He had a passion when he saw that these people didn't have a relationship with Jesus. Something, there has to be that passion for the lost. See, for the one who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, it's as if he hasn't died. Nothing has happened. So that's why we must have that passion. I love what he says. That's been one of my guiding principles in life. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Connecting the heart of lost people back to God. Thank you, Lord. I don't want to fall in this category. Notice what he says. Ezekiel 3, 18. He says, if I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked man from his wicked way, in order to save his life, that wicked person shall die for his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, or from his wicked way. He shall die for his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. He's saying that the wicked man is already God. I mean, if you don't warn him to try to save him from his wicked way, that when that person dies, the blood is on your hands. If you warn him and he doesn't take heed, then you are okay. So for me, my goal is to get the gospel to everybody, as many as I can. You see, when he was leaving, in Mark chapter 16, when he was giving that child a promise, he said, go and tell them. Some will believe and some won't believe. If they don't believe, that's their problem. But my job, your job in life to walk successfully down here, is to tell everyone about the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I don't want anybody's blood on my hands. And I don't think you do either. He says Paul was moved. Are you moved when people are on the road? You see, hell is a real place. There are people there right now. Heaven is a real place. There are people there right now. Everybody that accepts God's sacrifice of Jesus Christ and his gift will go to heaven when they leave. Everyone that doesn't will go to hell. There are people there right now crying out. But he's saying it's in their future. Warn them. Tell them. All of us have fire in our future, but some fires, I don't want to be part of it. All of us, our works will be judged by fire. And we'll stand before the judgment seat. If the work that we have done down here is of gold. He says some of the work is gold, some of it is straw, some of it is not made of the right material. It won't survive. All of us, there's fire in our future. But for some people, the fire that they are going to go through is eternal. It's eternal. They are going to spend eternity with the enemy. He says that hell wasn't created for man. It was created for the devil and his angels. Mm-hmm. But the devil is selfish. Yes. He doesn't want to go there alone. So he's endeavoring to take other people with him. I'm on the God side of love. I'm endeavoring to pull people out. So that's why. That's our mission. The other was, well, we'll continue. But that's why I endeavor. This week we took delivery of these tracts. We ran out. It's from Osborne Ministries. But it has so, you can take them. We have the box right there at the back. But sometimes, even when I'm traveling, when I'm on a plane, when I'm in a taxi, I keep some of these things on me. These are good talking points. Or in the community, as we reach out, we have distributed these together with the other ones that we printed. Everybody, there should be nobody in this city who hasn't heard about Jesus. No. No, that's an error. That's an error. Nobody. One time, Paula was in a place, and she was a school, and she was talking to somebody, and the person daughter was sick, or child was sick, and they said, "Can I pray for this child?" And then the parent said, the child said, "Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus?" This is right. It's not in another. This is right here. And when she came home, who is Jesus? This is right here. The person is living right here, hasn't heard about Jesus. That's why we have that mission on our mind. We have it on our heart. Everybody must hear about Jesus. Your neighbor, your co-worker, everybody must hear about Jesus. One time, another person, well, they had a co-worker, and they work and do all these things together, and they went into church, and the minister was preaching about hell being a real place. And the co-worker, the other person was a Christian, and said to this other person that hadn't heard about this, he almost got angry and said, "Did you know about this? And all this time I've been at work with you, we have been eating together, doing all these things together, and you didn't tell me?" He was upset. But that's our heart. That's our heart. You see, that when we do that, this is the idea. This is who we are. No, it doesn't matter whether we get to 10,000, 50,000. This is me. This is my lifestyle. When I was born again, this is what I signed up for. I will tell everybody that I come in contact with. I won't be pushy, but I'll make them aware. One way or the other. I will make them aware. So these are great discussion points. Healing of the leper. Fear not, only believe. This one, the God of miracles, Jesus saves. How to be saved.
You can just read through and just a great discussion point. They get the discussions going. Lord, I believe. He heard of Jesus. It matters what people hear about Jesus. See, a mean person is still trying to kill you, make you sick, and keep you poor in life. No, this person heard of Jesus. He wants you to have a whole life. So, and the other ones as well. And some of them start with engaging questions after death. I think we didn't get the whole set like we did the last time. So we'll reach out. And then I figured out how to put the address of the church at the back as well. Normally I use this together with the other flyer. So people know where to go when they get in contact with this thing. But you can give them to your neighbors. You can put them on their doors. You can put them on cars. When you meet people in the store, start with just being friends with them. Mm-hmm. Be nice to them. Paula started by helping our neighbor with her weeds, and she got it in. She's doing Bible study with her. So just look for opportunities. But be someone who is passionate about God. God! Now, I don't want anybody to go to and perish. And as you do that, as you do that, I'll show you what will happen. Thank you, Lord. I'll wrap up with this. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Oh, glory be to the name of the Lord. I had two more points, but this is good to wrap up with this. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Thank you, Lord. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Daniel 12, verse 3. Thank you, Father. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. Who are the ones who are wise? Proverbs 11:30 tells you who is wise. Whoever wins a soul is wise. So if you want to fly, if you want to excel in the kingdom of God, those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever. Like the stars forever. Like the stars forever. In the mighty name of Jesus, as you make a commitment that God, I will reach out to the lost, I see you flying higher and higher. If that's you, say a big amen. 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 Those who are wise, it's wisdom to lead people to Jesus. They will shine. They will shine. They will shine. They will shine. That's why I know where I'm going. So long as I keep praying for the lost and we all keep reaching out to this city, to the lost in our city, we are destined for the top. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. We are destined to shine. We are destined to shine. Thank you, Father. The other two points was depending on the Holy Spirit and then walking in love. He says love never fails. Love never fails. You love God. You serve Him. You are available for Him. And you love your neighbor as yourself. There is no failure in love. Every failure traces back to a failure of love, ultimately. Thank you, Lord. See you excelling. I see you victorious. I see you going up higher and higher. In the mighty name of Jesus, if that's you, say a big amen. Say it like you are in church. Amen. Amen. Say it like you are excited. Amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Oh, thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Talk to Him this morning. There is victory available. This morning I've given you the winning secrets of life. To be able to excel in life. Job 36, 11 says that if they obey and serve me, they shall serve. They shall spend their years in prosperity and their years in pleasure. Obeying and serving God is the secret to winning. Exodus 23:26, he talks about the fact that, oh, when you serve the Lord, He will bless your bread and your butter, and He will take sickness away from the midst of you. There's your health insurance right there. Thank you, Lord. Make a fresh commitment to God this morning. Thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. 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 The presence of God is here this morning. This is your morning. This month is your month. In the name of Jesus, this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. This is the victory that has overcome the world, This is the victory. God doesn't want you walking in life being overcome by the enemy. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. It's God's will and God's plan for you to walk triumphantly down here. And so every area of your life that looks like defeat, in the mighty name of Jesus, lift it up to God this morning. Lift it up to God this morning. The mighty presence of God is here. His presence is here. His presence is here. His presence is here. His presence is here. Lift up your voice. Thank you, Father. 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 Glory be to the name of the Lord. Everyone that is born of God overcomes the world. This morning, if you are listening to us, if you are listening to this message, maybe after the fact, or if you are watching online and you don't know Jesus, your first step to walking victoriously, moving out of a life of defeat, is to start a relationship with Jesus. To be born again. To be born again. To come into his kingdom. Thank you, Father, to start an overcoming lifestyle. In the mighty name of Jesus, if you are willing to do that, just say, Lord Jesus, I've heard your word. Thank you that you came and paid an awesome price for me. You died and you rose for me. Today, I confess you as my Lord and as my Savior. And thank you, I'm saved. Help me to live a life that is worthy of you, to serve you all the days of my life. And if at one time you knew God, you knew Jesus, but for some reason, like the prodigal son, the enemy took you out of the father's house. And now, like the prodigal son, you are out there in want and in need. But you say, no, I've come to myself. I am willing to come back to the Father. Just say, Lord Jesus, take me back. Take me back. Back to you in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. For the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. And his mercies endures forever. For the Lord is good. And his mercies endures forever. For the Lord is good. And his mercies endures forever. Talk to him this morning. Talk to him this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Talk to him this morning. Talk to him this morning. Talk to him this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Whatever is on your heart, whatever you are faced with this week, talk to him about it. The circumstances of your life, Jesus, the Father, is interested in it. Oh, Father, we thank you for showing us, our part in this great drama of life, what we need to do to walk victoriously down here. In the mighty name of Jesus, thank you for these precious children of yours. Thank you, oh God, we are your children. Thank you, Lord, we are your children. In the mighty name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, we are your children. Thank you, Lord, we are your children. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God is impressing on God. When I was praying, this came to me. The Holy Spirit ministered to me that about this circumstance. That attack of the enemy, that demonic attack of the enemy on your life at night, God is saying, shut the door to the enemy by watching what is going in your ears and eyes. And as you do that, now resist the enemy and tell him to flee in the mighty name of Jesus. I declare that attack ceases in Jesus' mighty name as you shut those gates. Thank you, Father. Oh, you have escaped. You have escaped. You have escaped in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Let's raise up our hands and give him praise and glory before we go. Give him praise and glory. Thank him for his mighty visitation by his word. Thank him for his mighty visitation by his word. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that this week that you are entering into, may it be a most fruitful week in the name of Jesus. May it be a most productive week in the mighty name of Jesus. Where you need wisdom, may you hear the voice of God. May God lead you and cause you to be at the right place, at the right time. May you hear a voice behind you. May you be led by the Spirit of God, saying, this is the way to go. Every siege on your health, may it cease in Jesus' mighty name. May it cease in the mighty name of Jesus. May you experience the goodness of God. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine on you and give you his peace. May goodness and mercy follow you every single day of this week and the rest of the days of this month and the rest of the days of this year. May you experience miracles and miracles. In the mighty name of Jesus, may you fill your mouth with laughter. You are blessed and you cannot be cursed. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody say a big amen.
We trust this podcast was a blessing. Subscribe for more messages like these. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, we would love to hear from you. Email us at info@wordmissionchurchinternational.org. We will love to equip you in daily walk, so sign up for daily devotionals and encouragement at www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. You may reach us at 719-235-5535 or write us at P.O. Box 15883, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80935.